the holy name of Jesus. Amen. In our series, The Suffering Saints, we take a look at St. Peter. Interestingly, Peter isn't really known for his suffering. Now, to be sure, Peter did suffer, and suffered the loss of his life for the preaching of the gospel, as we'll talk about shortly. But it isn't really because of his suffering that Peter is remembered. Peter is often remembered for his interactions with Jesus in the Gospels and his apostleship as recorded in the book of Acts. But I've included Peter in this series on the suffering saints chiefly because of his writings on suffering. The inspired author in his epistles gives us as Christians much to cling to in the face of suffering. Peter was a fisherman and the ambitious type. He's known for his action, not for his contemplation. Like the time he sees Jesus walking on water and he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water with you." Or when Jesus told him he was going to suffer and die and rise again, and Peter said, "I forbid it, Lord, I'll never let it happen." Or the time when Peter tried to stop Jesus from being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter, wielding a sword, cut off the ear of Malchus. In his apostleship, Peter was just as ambitious, although it was, shall we say, guided by the Holy Spirit. That when the crowds gathered for the first Pentecost after the resurrection, it was Peter who stood up and he preached from Joel chapter 2, and he said, "Men of Judea, God has made this man both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." And then 3,000 were baptized that day. It was Peter who, when arrested, was thrown into prison and was told he could no longer preach about Jesus, who said, "We obey God rather than men." And while we don't have it recorded in Scripture, history tells us that Peter and his wife were arrested in Rome under the reign of Nero. And I'm not sure that we can verify it historically, but tradition has it that Peter was sentenced to die by crucifixion, and because he did not find himself worthy to be killed in the same manner as his Lord, he requested to be crucified upside down. And Christian art throughout history has always pictured the martyrdom of Peter as an upside-down crucifixion. It was likely in Rome, not long before his death, that Peter wrote these two epistles that bear his name. Christian persecution and suffering is a constant theme that runs through both of them, and why we listen to two readings from them tonight. The Lord told us through Peter, "When the fiery trial comes upon you to test you, do not be surprised as if some strange thing were happening to you." If it happened to you that while you were here at worship, or maybe while you were making a proclamation of the gospel, that the police came and arrested you and hauled you off to jail, you might expect it to be all over the news, or that people would be going crazy about it on Facebook and Twitter, that you'd expect some big petition, or that people would be talking about what happened. And from the perspective of an American citizen who lives under the Constitution protecting religious rights, we should have such an outrage. But as a Christian, the Bible says that persecution, which is described as a fiery trial to test us, should not surprise us at all. We shouldn't think of it as some strange thing happening to us. Instead, we should think, this is exactly what happens to Christians living in this world. This isn't strange, this is normal. This is par for the course for a Christian living in this world. Christian being persecuted in this world, oh, that's ho-hum old business. Peter says, instead of being surprised, rejoice. Rejoice? How could we rejoice for being persecuted as a Christian? Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. That if you suffer in this life because of what you believe or because of what you confess, then you can rejoice in that because the reason you are suffering is because that you are one with Christ. The world doesn't want to punish you because you look good or because you're too smart or because you have all the money. And this is why Peter tells us to be sure we don't suffer as a murderer or a thief. The reason the world wants you to suffer is because it hates Christ. And you are one with him. So rejoice. Jesus says, they hate you because they first hated me. But Peter goes on to say, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Christians rejoice in the midst of suffering because we know that this world is not all there is. That there is life beyond this world. If this is all there is, if this was the whole kit and caboodle, then taking away our freedom, that would be detrimental. Taking away our money, ending our life, well, that, of course, would be taking away everything if this is all there is. But for the Christian, take they our life, good, fames, child, and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won, the kingdom ours remaineth. To make a Christian suffer is not robbing the Christian of anything. It's a blessing. It's a blessing because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. That day when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They answered, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, others say Jeremiah. And so then Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter steps up to the plate and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus did not give credit to Peter. Now, he did say he was blessed, but he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The only way that anyone can confess the name of Jesus and therefore be prepared to suffer all, even death, is by the doing of God. It's true for Peter, it's true for Paul, and it's true for you. A suffering unto death is not something you prepare yourself for. There's no persecution boot camp, and there's no spring training for Christian suffering. It's simply the faith once delivered to the saints, which is now delivered to you. Jesus said it is on this rock, the rock of Christ, the confession that Peter just made, that flesh and blood didn't reveal, but his Father in heaven, upon this Christ that the church now stands. And the church still stands today, not because of tradition or because it is founded upon flesh and blood. The church still stands today because she is founded upon Christ, who is the head of the church. The church that was found confessing the name of Christ 2,000 years ago, who endured such suffering then, is the church to which you were baptized this day. The church that continues to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. The church that continues to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the church that endures the sufferings of every generation. And Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail against her, but that Christ is coming again to bring her with him. In the midst of such suffering, it's in the church that we are kept safe. Safe from the devil and his attacks. Safe from the principalities of this present age. The Lord does this as he did for Peter and James and John and all the saints. And he does it by his holy word. That you come here and you abide in his word, and in doing that, you abide in him. This word of promise, which is attached to water, this word of promise in the word of absolution that all of your sins are forgiven, and this word of promise attached to bread and wine, which is his body and blood, it's in this place that the word becomes flesh and makes his dwelling here with us. And if the Lord is dwelling with us here and now, then we're abiding with him. And if that is true, then any suffering that the world has in store for us pales in comparison to the glory he has for us. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.